Hello, Browns fans. Welcome to a special playoff edition of the Dogland Podcast. I am your host, Anthony Jokey. I have Jackson McCurry alongside with me, and we are here to preview the Cleveland Browns versus the Houston Texans in the AFC Super Wildcard Weekend playoff round. And Jack, it's nice to be back in the playoffs after a few up and down seasons, but this week we get to have another playoff game.
Yeah, man. I mean, it is crazy that we are here after the wild season we've had in the regular season. Now we're in the playoffs and, you know, emotions are running high. Like, everybody's ready to go, ready for this game to get here. The hype videos that have been pumped out, whether it's by the Browns or created by Browns content creators, like it's really, the buzz in Northeast Ohio is real. It's legit. And I cannot wait for Saturday afternoon to get here, man.
Yeah, I know. This has been like one long week already. And it's maybe extra long because, you know, I didn't watch the game on Sunday. I'm not sure how many people actually did because we kind of expected with not many of the Browns starters playing. But, you know, it's important because, you know, the Browns are back in the playoffs after what has been just truly incredible, special, wild, crazy year. I mean, yeah, there's so many adjectives that you could put on this season because of all the injuries that this team has sustained and had to fight through in order to get back to the playoffs. We kind of expected that the Browns would be in the playoffs, but not with the path that they have taken, because the path that they have taken so many times in the past has, you know, led to, you know, 4-12, 5-11 back when there was still 16 games. So, you know, for them to have come out with all of these wins this year and be able to make the playoffs with, and I could sit here for next hour and probably go over all the injuries that they've had. It might take me that long to read them. For them to overcome all of that, it's just a credit to this coaching staff, credit to the player leadership on this team, credit to the front office. And, you know, sometimes an organization pushes all the right buttons, and it seems like this year the Browns have done that in order to get back to the playoffs.
Yeah, man. I mean, we all expected this team to be a playoff team, like you said, but we didn't expect it to be this way. We didn't expect, like, our cornerstones on offense are like some key guys on defense to go down. We didn't expect Joe Flacco, who was sitting on the couch for 3/4 of the season, to come in and lead this team to 4 straight wins and clinch a playoff spot in what was an electric crowd at Brown Stadium. We didn't expect a lot of the things that happened this year, but this team has fought through adversity and has found a way. And I think that's kudos to the culture that Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski implemented, you know, the additions that they made in free agency, the draft, bringing in Jim Schwartz and Bubba Ventrone to the coaching staff, which I think was as vital as some of the player acquisitions we made, if not more vital than those. But yeah, I mean, it was such a wild season. A lot of us thought after the Nick Chubb injury that this season was going to fall apart. A lot of us saw after Deshaun Watson broke his shoulder after the crazy comeback against Baltimore that, you know, it just wasn't going to be our year. But this team kept fighting, and they kept, you know, searching just to go 1-0 each and every week. That's been Stefanski's motto since the moment he got into Cleveland, and they've gone out and done that. Obviously, like, there's been a lot of twists and turns, but this team has found a way to go 1-0 every week. And here we are again, Anthony. It's wild card weekend, and the goal is plain and simple, just to go 1-0 once again.
Yeah, they have to go 1-0 against a team that they have quite the recent history with, and that is the Houston Texans. You know, they've played the last two seasons. You know, the Browns have won both of those games. And obviously, the big thing is, you know, the big trade that was made between the Browns and the Texans to acquire Deshaun Watson, who you talked about, you know, unfortunately is on IR and you know, and has been pretty much half the season and won't play in this game. But, you know, Houston had to go out and find themselves another quarterback. They found their guy in CJ Stroud. So just the recent history between the Browns and Texas. There are so many different storylines going into this game, and it certainly makes for one of the more intriguing matchups, you know, on this Super Wild Card weekend. Probably the Rams going into Detroit is probably the game with the best storyline. But, you know, this one, you know, with the Deshaun Watson trade, and, you know, as of right now, you know, will it pan out? Will it not pan out? We'll see. But, you know, this game certainly has a ton of different storylines, and, you know, it would mean a lot, I think, to both teams to, you know, come out victorious after Saturday.
Yeah, for sure. And you think back, this doesn't go back just the last nearly 2 years. Go all the way back to 2017, Anthony. 2017, the Browns and the Texans made a trade. It was the Brock Osweiler trade, where the Browns essentially bought a second round pick, taking on that contract. And that pick, or yeah, that pick ended up being Nick Chubb. Then draft day in 2017, the Browns and Texans make another trade where the Texans hopped up to get Deshaun Watson. The Browns ultimately got, I think it was Jabril Peppers with their pick when they moved back. And then the extra one that the Browns got in that trade became Denzel Ward. And then, of course, the Deshaun Watson trade back in March of 2022, which obviously changed the landscape for both franchises. The Texans went into a rebuild. They ultimately get CJ Stroud. They get Will Anderson with the pick that the Browns gave them in the trade. And they're still, you know, they still got one more first rounder. So these franchises are forever intertwined. They're also the last two expansion franchises in the NFL. So there's a lot of history and connections between these two, but obviously the Deshaun Watson trade, both of them, because they ultimately changed the course of both franchises, both additions of that trade, they'll forever be intertwined. So it's an intriguing matchup. Like you said, there's a lot of history and a lot of moments between these two franchises. And it makes an intriguing battle because the Texans are an up and coming team where the Browns have been hanging around here these last 4 years under Barry and Stefanski. But now they're kind of the sexy team to watch because of their defense, because of what Joe Flacco's been able to do. And then, of course, what Stroud's been doing for Houston. It just makes it an exciting matchup to watch come Saturday.
And, you know, as of right now, the two teams have played each other 14 times and the series record is 7-7. So it has been an even matchup between these two, you know, like you mentioned, last two expansion teams. And, you know, the Texans have been in the playoffs a lot more than the Browns. They have 7 division championships since they came into the league in 2002, which is crazy because the Browns haven't had one since what year was that?
1989.
Yeah. So, you know, they've had a little more success since they came into the league, since, you know, the Browns have returned in 99. So I think it'll be a fun matchup, and we obviously have a lot to talk about. So we're going to dive into the injury news on both sides. And, you know, for the Browns, it's a lengthy list. I'm not going to read every name on here. It might take me a few minutes, but the important ones, Jack, Amari Cooper said that he is going to play this week. Betonio is healthy. Shelby Harris, who went out in the games Sunday, has been full in practice. Juan Thornhill was limited today, and so he will be back. And then the big news is that Grant Delpit was activated off of IR today from the Browns. And, you know, getting Grant Delpit back to add to this defense that has been so good all year long at this crucial time of the season is just a huge thing for this Browns team right now.
Yeah, I will say it wasn't activated. I think he was designated to return. But Nathan Zagura had said on Browns Daily that he's not expected to play this week. But still, getting him back out there, getting him back on the practice field, getting him ready for a potential divisional round matchup is huge for the Browns secondary because, you know, while Ronnie Hickman and De'Anthony Bell have been playing extremely well, Juan Thornhill's obviously been sidelined with his calf issue. Getting Delpit back out there, I think, is very key. You know, hopefully Thornhill can go too, because the depth's going to be crucial. You're going up against some good offensive weapons on the Texan side of the ball. You need our secondary at full strength going up against Nico Collins and Dalton Schultz. So yeah, getting Delpit back out there is good. It's a good step, but We probably won't see him this week. We'll see him next week, hopefully, as long as the Browns take care of business on Saturday. But yeah, having Delpit back out there, getting him ramped up is going to be key for sure.
The unfortunate one is that it is unlikely that Dustin Hopkins is going to play on Saturday. Injured himself a couple games ago and unfortunately has been out since then. But thankfully the Browns are kicking in a dome this weekend. So that might be a little bit better for their current situation. But, Hopkins can get back soon.
Yeah, it's a loss definitely because we were hopeful, Dustin Hopkins we're going to be able to utilize him in the playoffs in crunch time situations. But, we have Riley Patterson who they have on the practice squad. They've called him up, but he has playoff experience. So that's a good sign. Made a game winning kick last year for Jacksonville and that thrilling come from behind victory against the Chargers. So this guy's got playoff experience too. So while we would love to see D-Hop out there, I still feel somewhat confident, even though he's a little shaky against the Jets, that Riley Patterson in a dome can take care of business when called upon Sunday. But we also know Anthony, Kevin Stefanski is going to be aggressive. If he doesn't feel comfortable in certain situations to rely on Patterson the way he has been with Dustin Hopkins, we know the aggressiveness. We know they're going to go for it, and it wouldn't shock me if at some point they go for two, whether they're up or trailing in the playoff game.
Absolutely. That's just kind of been his MO since he's been here, so we'll see how that all shakes out. And on the other side for Houston, their defensive line is pretty banged up. Will Anderson, one of their top draft picks this year, who missed the first game against the Browns, did not practice for Tuesday and Wednesday, so we'll see what his status will be for the game on Saturday. Noah Brown, one of the receivers, has in practice. Jonathan Grenard and Derry Hughes, also both on that defensive line. All three of those guys with ankle injuries, so we'll see if any of those guys are able to get out there for Houston. But if they're not able to go for the Texans on Saturday, Jack, that's a big blow to their defensive line. And, the Browns did a great job that first game. Obviously, Amari Cooper, crazy yardage. Joe Flacco had lots of time to throw. They really weren't able to generate any pass rush. And if those guys are out again, Jack, last game against the Jets, the Browns were able to, they started to run the ball a little bit better than they have been. And then the success in the air that they had against the Texans as well. It could be a good thing for this offense if those guys aren't able to, go this Saturday with the running game and the passing game kind of, improving over the last month or so.
Yeah, I mean, this is huge that the Texans defensive line's banged up because Grenard having a breakout season, double digit sacks, was up there among the league leaders. And then Will Anderson, we knew how dominant he was going to be coming out of Alabama, and he unfortunately missed the last Browns game, fortunately for us, but see him not out there. And then Jerry Hughes, who's been doing it for a decade plus, whether it was in Buffalo or Houston, like your top three edge rushers are going to be out. And then your top two interior guys. And, granted they weren't good at stopping the run at all this year. I mean, having your top five defensive linemen potentially out now, granted Rakitz and Collins are limited, probably means they're probably going to be able to go. Granted, they can go tomorrow in practice, but this is huge for the Browns. I mean, we know how suspect the offensive line has been at times this year, but they've been a good unit down the stretch. Like you said, they opened up got the running game going against the Jets, which we all know how good the Jets defense has been this year. If Houston's defensive line's banged up, that's going to open things up for Jerome Ford and Kareem Hunt and get that running game going, which I think will be huge because, all the pressure is going to be on Flacco, which, there's not going to be too much pressure on him because he's Joe Cool, especially when it comes in the playoffs. But if they can get the running game going, that's going to open things up more for Amari Cooper, who had a dominant game the first go around against Houston, and maybe even open things up for David Njoku and the rest of the supporting cast as well on offense.
Yeah, and we know in the playoffs like how much tighter these games get, right? Everything is so crucial. So if they're able to run the ball a little bit and help them out, help them maintain possession of the ball a little bit longer, it'll be a huge thing for this Browns offense to be able to do that. Now, the big thing for the Texans is that the first time the Browns and Texans played the season, they did not have their quarterback, C.J. Stroud. He will be out there this Saturday. The Ohio State rookie who, you know, will probably win rookie of the year. You know, Puka Nacua certainly made a case, you know, this year as well, but it will probably be C.J. Stroud that wins that award. And with C.J. Stroud out there, Jack, this is a completely different Texas team because we know how talented he is. He has done a great job all season long, you know, not only throwing the football, but able to create plays with his legs as well. And this is the kind of quarterback that the Browns have a little bit of trouble with, right? These guys that can really throw the ball, but can also, you know, move and run as well. And it's going to be a completely different look that our defense is going to have with C.J. Stroud in there on Saturday.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we all knew how talented C.J. Stroud was going to be coming out of Ohio State. We didn't get to see him utilized as much as a runner. I don't know if that's a Ryan Day thing, or that was a C.J. Stroud thing, protecting his body, protecting his, you know, his asset going into the draft, where we knew he was going to be drafted high. But he's been so unbelievable as a rookie. I mean, so many moments. You think about the comeback win against Tampa, the game he just had against Indianapolis to get him into the playoffs. He's been pretty unbelievable. And we know it's going to be a tough task with him. You know, granted, you look at the numbers. When he's played top 10 pass defenses, he hasn't been, you know, the superstar quarterback. Defenses were limiting him to 184 yards a game, 57% completion percentage. He turned the ball over twice in five games against top 10 defenses. So it's going to be a good test for this Browns defense to go up against him, because he's been so talented. But we know how great this Browns defense has been all season long. You know, everything that's been thrown at them, they've gone to task, gone to war, and gotten the job done. So yeah, CJ's coming in with some confidence. He's had some good games. He's also, you know, he just had the concussion a month ago. So you got to wonder, like, is he going to be afraid to get hit? Is he going to, you know, protect his body more? You know, the Browns defense is going to get into his head early. If they give him a couple shots, it might rattle him a little bit, but we've seen this guy. He went up against Georgia and nearly beat them. And he's gone up to get some great teams this year. And he's gone toe to toe with them, and he's beaten them. Like, he hasn't been perfect. No rookie is, but he's had an unbelievable rookie year. But I'm still confident in this Browns defense. It's the best one in the league. The pass rush is phenomenal, and I expect them to get after the rookie. Like, Jim Schwartz, he's been pretty successful against rookie quarterbacks. I tend to think so. So I think he's got a good game plan, and he's going to have those guys ready to get after Stroud.
Not to mention, you know, you could argue that this Brown defense is fast, right? This defense, I apologize for a notification that's going to show up on the podcast. My computer decided to make a random noise, so I'm sorry about that. But, you know, you could argue that this defense is very fast, and being able to play on turf a little bit, you know, this defense should be able to fly around, fly through the football. You know, guys like JOK, who has been all over the football field all year long, you know, should be able to make a huge impact on this game. And, you know, we'll see what this defense decides to draw up. You know, I would imagine Schwartz is going to do his best to really confuse C.J. Stroud. And, you know, if that gives, you know, Miles and Za'Darius more times to get home, that's great. And then, you know, they've been able to get some pressure from up the middle by the interior guys as well. So, you know, I expect our D-line to, you know, be very solid this game and force Stroud into a lot of situations, you know, hopefully get him into a lot of third and long situations so these pass rushers can tee off. But, you know, he is very talented. So, you know, you got to maintain your lanes, you know, make sure you contain him as much as possible so he doesn't beat you with his legs. And, you know, it's going to be a fun matchup. You know, if Houston was playing any other team, I would probably, you know, root for him, you know, because he's a Buckeye. But, you know, unfortunately, you know, he's a Buckeye going against the Browns this week. And right now, you know, we need the Browns to win this game, and it'll be certainly exciting to see, you know, how this thing all shakes out by the end of the day Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, the first matchup we watched, you know, it was Case Keenum, so we knew he was going to hold the ball onto the ball. So we knew this defense was going to get after him. Like, they hit him 6 times, sacked him 3 times. You know, they picked him off twice. So it was, we knew what we were going to get out of Case Keenum. You know, we've watched CJ Stroud. We haven't watched him closely, analyzed him closely. We do know he holds onto the ball long. His average time this year was 2.93 time to throw. So, you know, when you got Myles Garrett on one side, you got Za'Darius Smith on the other side, you got maybe a Dalvin Tomlinson or an Alex Wright up the middle, and then you got to watch JOK as well. And I think that's key for when Stroud wants to scramble, just because JOK can somewhat keep up with guys. We know he had some fits at times this year, but if he holds onto the ball at 3 second mark, Anthony, you know, you got to worry about 95, but then if you try to go the other way, then you got 99 on the other side, not to mention who else is coming at him. So this defense is going to be ready. Jim Schwartz, I'm sure, has been studying CJ Stroud like crazy this week and maybe even prior, obviously, planning for Houston a couple of weeks ago. So I think this defense is primed and ready. We've heard, you know, JOK say this isn't just another game. This is so important to the organization and the city. These guys are going to be ready. I have no doubt about that because of the guy that they have leading the defense, because of the key leaders who have been here before, leading the young guys who haven't experienced the playoffs. So there's no doubt in my mind this defense is going to be ready and they're going to be able to get after Stroud and hopefully force him into some bad throws that we could capitalize on with some turnovers.
Because not only, you know, do you have you know, very good defensive line, but you also have the good secondary too. So it's going to be a tough challenge for Stroud, and you know, my hats will be off to him if he's able to, you know, have a really good game on Saturday. Hopefully he doesn't. But let's get into our keys to victory, Jack. If you had to pick a couple things, you know, one offense, one defense, you know, that this Browns team needs to do on Saturday against the Texans, what would that be?
Oh, it'd be pressuring CJ Stroud. Like, you got to make him uncomfortable early. You got to force him into making some bad throws. He made 17 turnover worthy throws this year. Unfortunately, he only threw 5 interceptions. So I think that's credit to him though. And maybe it is to the, he got lucky. I mean, cause you know, a lot of rookies tend to turn the ball over a lot as they're trying to learn the game, but he got lucky that he only had 5 interceptions. 3 of them were in one game. I think it was against the Bengals. So you got to pressure him, force him into some bad throws. And hopefully our secondary or our linebackers will capitalize on that. But I just think the biggest key is to pressure Stroud and make him as uncomfortable as possible. I know he's going to be on the home field. I'm sure the crowd's going to be going nuts, but you got to make him uncomfortable. And if that takes, you know, Miles and Za'Darius just completely beating the crap out of him, by all means. I mean, I love CJ. I love what he did for Ohio State. I wish he would have been able to do some more down the stretch in some games. But at the end of the day, he's the opposing team. He's quote unquote the enemy this week. And as much as I love CJ, I hope the Browns defense, you know, makes him and his team life a living hell come Saturday afternoon.
You know, he was probably one non-targeting call away from winning the national championship, but
yeah, for sure.
You know, that's not our podcast to discuss, unfortunately. So, well, what do the Browns have to do offensively?
I think they got to attack with the running game. If this defensive line of Houston's is going to be banged up, they got to get the running game going. You know, to try to make the passing attack a little more smoother, obviously, that Jets game, we got to see, you know, the best of both worlds on offense. We got to see Flacco do his thing early with Njoku and then Elijah Moore before Elijah Moore unfortunately got concussed. But, you know, Jerome Ford was running angry and explosive. And Kareem Hunt, the burst out of him in that game was like it's the Kareem Hunt we haven't seen in quite some time. So if they can get the running game going early and be able to open things up in the play action game for, you know, Cooper, hopefully Elijah Moore, David Njoku, and our receivers. And I think it's going to be a good day for this Browns offense. The Texans secondary is tough, but at the same time, we thought it was tough going into the game on Christmas Eve, and Amari Cooper went out and set a single game receiving yard record. So I still think that's talented. I still think they're probably going to play better than they did that day on Christmas Eve. So if they can get the running game going, I think it'll make things easier for Flacco in the passing attack.
Speaking of Flacco, this is his first playoff start in 9 years.
Yeah.
Since 20, I think I saw 2014. So that actually might be 10 years. So, you know, we know what his, you know, how good his record has been on the road in the playoffs. Where will Joe Flacco rank among Browns legends if he's able to go out and win a playoff game this year?
I mean, he's got to go right towards the top. I mean, when you think about it, going back to since 99, it's Kelly Holcomb and Baker Mayfield that have started a playoff game for the Cleveland Browns. And then you go back even farther than that, it's since, let's go the last 35 years. It's Bernie Kosar. I think you said Mike Pagel was the quarterback in the 88 playoff game. So it's Bernie, Mike Pagel, Vinny Testaverde, Kelly Holcomb, and Baker Mayfield. Like, obviously, you go back farther with Otto Graham, the late Frank Ryan, who just recently passed away, you know, Brian Sipe. I mean, he goes out and wins a playoff game, which we don't see very often now in Browns lore. Like, he's going to go towards the top. And we know what Joe does in the playoffs. Obviously, like you said, it's been a long time, but I think he's won 5 road playoff games in his career, which is only like second all time. And first was Tom Brady. So if Joe wins, obviously, like, that's going to be huge. And the Flacco fever is only going to continue to rise.
All right. Let me ask this. If he wins 2 playoff games, could you put him as a top 5 Browns quarterback of all time?
Yes. Hey, like without question, Anthony. I mean, you look at it. It's right now what it's Otto Graham, it's Frank Ryan, it's Sipe, it's Bernie, and then it's whoever for
Baker at fifth because he beat Pittsburgh on the road.
Right. I mean, Baker's arguably a top 5 quarterback, but if Flacco wins just 2, even though we're focused on going 1-0 this week, he wins 2 playoff games, he's going to go top 5. And then obviously if he wins another one, then he gets into that Otto Graham territory, Frank Ryan territory, guys that won championships. But Anthony, let's just focus on going 1-0 this week before we get too carried away.
1-0. And Speaking of going 1-0, Jack, what is your prediction for Saturday?
I think it's going to be a good game, but at the end of the day, I think this defense is going to make this win sweeter because we're going to win by double digits. I think the Cleveland Browns are going to beat the Houston Texans. And they are going to the divisional round. They are going to win 31-21. Go Browns.
I was talking to my dad about this yesterday. If anything, I want a blowout either way. I don't know if my heart can take some last second field goal attempt or defensive stand or anything like that. And I know it's the NFL playoffs, so I am asking way too much of that. But I think the Browns will win this game. I think both offenses are going to find some success, but ultimately I think the Browns offense will be able to have a little bit more firepower and be able to control the time of possession and the football longer than the Houston Texans. So I will say the Browns win this game 30-27.
Ooh, God. I don't know if I could take a last second playoff game. Like, I know our dads and our grandparents experienced it back in the 80s, and there might be some older Browns fans that listen to us. But I don't know how much I can handle like a last second playoff victory, even though 2021, which today's the 3-year anniversary of that fun ass playoff game against Pittsburgh. Even though it kind of came down to the last second because our defense let our foot off the gas, but I don't know if I could handle something like those Browns playoff games from 40 years ago, 35, 40 years ago.
You know, it's crazy. I don't know if I've told this story on the podcast before, but my dad told me, you know, in the house that he grew up in, you know, he was watching the playoff game in against Denver, the fumble year. And he said that his fist almost went through the ceiling when he saw, you know, the guy almost get in the end zone, and when he saw the almost punched his hand through the ceiling, And then just the disappointment to learn of the fumble. So, you know, it's certainly been an experience for Browns fans over many, many, many years. And, you know, hopefully on Saturday, you know, we're able to get a victory and go 1-0 and move on to next week. You know, win and survive. That's what we are right now. Win and survive.
Absolutely.
All right. I don't know if we want to talk about coaching carousel because it's going to change quite a bit between now and, you know, the end of the season. But I guess we will, you know, kind of
let's at least touch on the chaos that has already happened this week.
Yeah. So, I mean, there has been quite a bit of chaos and there have been some coaching changes that we expected and then some that not so much. So, the first one that kind of shook everybody is that the Tennessee Titans fired head coach Mike Vrabel and, you know, really didn't have a plan in place. And there was the owner who said that, you know, they had thought about maybe trading him, but they didn't want to sit around and wait that long to find a partner to trade him with. So Mike Vrabel is out in Tennessee. Today, Pete Carroll is out as the Seattle Seahawks head coach. It sounds like he is going to go to the front office and kind of, you know, semi-retire, I guess, from coaching. And then the big shocker tonight, Jack, this afternoon, Nick Saban, the head coach of the Alabama Crimson Tide, is going to retire after winning 7 national championships, 1 at LSU and then 6 at Alabama. Just an incredible run in the sport of college football. Nobody has seen anything like that. And it's just crazy, you know, the success that he's had over the years for Alabama. And, you know, Pete Carroll's no slouch, too. Won a Super Bowl, won a college national championship as well back when the BCS was still a thing. So, you know, 2 pretty legendary coaches will probably not be on the sidelines anymore. Some team is going to get a great hire with Mike Vrabel. And, you know, we don't know if Bill Belichick's coming back or not to the Patriots. So buckle up, everybody, because it's going to be a weird offseason.
Yeah, I mean, this has been like we talked about how it was a long week. It's like every day it's been like bomb after bomb in the football world. But like starting off with Saban, obviously, like this is a guy that I think was born in Ohio, started his college coaching career as a grad assistant at Kent State. You told me something I had no idea about. He was a coach briefly at Ohio State. We obviously know he was the head coach at Toledo. Then he was the DC with the Browns for 4 years. Obviously, if anybody hasn't seen the Cleveland 95 documentary, go watch it, because then you see like the incredible staff Belichick had, and Saban was the D coordinator in 94 when the Browns had the best defense in the league. It's kind of funny 30 years later that the Browns have the best defense in the league again, and one of Saban and Belichick's disciples is the guy leading that defense. But unbelievable career, like you said. Like he did have his time in the NFL as a head coach, didn't work out. That's a whole what if scenario if Drew Brees goes to Miami instead of New Orleans, because he was almost there with Saban. And then Saban obviously bolts to Alabama and has an incredible 14-year run. Like you said, winning 6 national championships. Like that's, we might never see anything like that again. Urban was the closest with his 3 between Florida and Ohio State. But yeah, Saban like riding off into the sunset. I'm anxious to see what he's going to do. He's been killing it in the media with Pat McAfee and definitely being more transparent than ever, being on his show in the weekly appearances. So maybe he hops into the media game, but that would be awesome to watch. But as far as the other two go, like Pete Carroll, Anthony, you said he's going to go into like semi-retirement. It doesn't sound like he wanted to do this. It sounds like ownership was like, we're going to move you to the side and we want to bring in somebody else to lead the Seahawks moving forward. So that's going to be interesting. They're saying he's going to be an advisory role, but he doesn't know exactly what that means. So that's going to be fascinating to watch, because he's got a couple of years left on his contract. That could be a potential trade if somebody wants to do that. And the whole Mike Vrabel situation, like we could have seen it coming the way it's been the last couple of years, because there was a clash between him and the GM when they traded AJ Brown. And it seems like Vrabel's been in a tug of war with whoever the GM's been over personnel decisions. And Yeah, it sounds like the ownership wanted to go with the GM's vision and philosophy. So going to be interesting to see who they get there in Tennessee to be their next head coach. Obviously, Will Levis has shown potential as a quarterback, but they're going to be undergoing more personnel changes. Obviously, Derrick Henry's going out the door. Vrabel's going to get picked up. It's just a matter of who. Like, Seattle makes sense, but it sounds like they want Dan Quinn. Kind of got to wait to see what happens with New England, like you said, because we don't know what's going to happen with Belichick. But obviously, those things align there with Vrabel and New England potentially. But yeah, the coaching carousel is crazy already. And by no means is it over yet, because now we get to see who's the next man in Alabama. We don't know what's going to happen with Belichick. And there's 7 or 8 other NFL openings that are yet to be determined, including and the Michigan situation, because we all think Harbaugh is going to the pros. So there's another big school with a decision to be made.
Hey, you stole my thunder there at the end. And, you know, oh, by the way, you know, we have to see what Jim Harbaugh does, which who knows, you know, Seattle would be an interesting team, I think, for him. Maybe the Chargers,
Raiders are always the wild card.
Yeah. We'll see. It'll be a fun, crazy offseason. I just know that we have our coach, we have our GM, and they both deserve contract extensions after this season. Hopefully that's after the Super Bowl. So, you know, we'll be sure to cover all this coaching carousel as it goes round and round as we head into the offseason. But until next time, let's hope for Browns win on Saturday against the Houston Texans and the playoffs. You know, me and Jack will be back to recap that game either after the game or Saturday or Monday. We'll figure that out. Just be sure to be on a lookout for that podcast for post game whenever we get there. Until then, remember, most importantly, especially this week, go Browns.